Women's basketball is still alive and well. The men are less so. Baseball and softball saw their first GPAC and home action this week, and tennis played well against good competition. We'll break it all down for you today on the ninth ever episode of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing well, Cohen. Excited to talk about how the Bulldogs did this week and then see how they can do in the weeks to come.
Yeah, so things are starting to come near the end for both of the basketball seasons, but for tennis, softball, it's starting to ramp up. For softball and baseball especially, we had our first home action and first GPAC action here in Seward, Nebraska. How'd softball do?
Yeah, so softball did great this weekend. Yeah, like you said, first home game, so nice to see that home field advantage at play. We played a doubleheader against Peru State. Both were wins, which is great to see. You know, they've had a bit of a rough start to the year, so it's nice to see them pick that up and get some home wins. So we won the first game 1-0, and the only run in the game came in the eighth inning. So it was a doubleheader, so shortened games,
yep.
Which means we took it to extra innings. Abriana Kreiser hit a double out to right field, and then we threw in a pinch runner, Delisi Bartling, in for Kreiser. Then Delaney Voschel advanced Bartling to third base, where she then scored off of an error. So it was a very, very good game for the pitchers. I believe there was 8 hits combined between both teams in the whole game.
Yeah, it's good for an extra innings game, too.
Definitely, yeah. But the second game was far from the first. So that one, we ended up getting the W 11-6. So we had some big performers in the second game, Jennifer Katz and Aubrey Brunning. Each of them had 3 runs in that game, so combined for 6. And then Kylie Schottenkirk had 1 run and batted in 3 runners all by herself.
So we saved all our offense for the second game is what you're saying.
Exactly. We saved it for when we needed it. Yeah, because Peru State ended up getting 6 but couldn't contend with our 11.
Yep.
But how did baseball do? We'll flip to the guy's side.
Yeah, so baseball, we had some GPAC action just like softball did. We'll get into the Midland series later. But with baseball, we had the Briarcliff series. So there's only 2 games played since our last episode. And like we mentioned, that was at home. That's in Seward. And it was against conference opponents. We ended up splitting the series. Game 1 was a 7-10 loss. Game 2 was a 3-0 win. But we'll break it down by game. Game 1, we had some standout performers. Notably, Alec Blakestead in center field had a 3 RBI day, going 3-for-4 with 1 run. And he ended up hitting in most of the runs, or a good chunk of them, with those 3 RBIs. Joey Gabranski, usual suspect, had 2 RBIs on the day. He went 3-for-3 in his time at the plate, but just wasn't able to stop the onslaught of that Briarcliff offense.
Yeah.
They ended up putting 10 on us, and a lot of it, you go. It's a lot of it going into the season. You know, doubleheaders, you know, GPAC play. You get a lot of these innings on the pitcher's arms. They start to add up a little bit.
Right.
We ended up having 3 pitchers for the game. Christian Gutierrez got the start and the loss. Logan and Jacob ended up finishing the game out of the bullpen. But we had a much better go of it the second go-around against Briarcliff. Again, this was Saturday. The first game was at 1. The second game was at 4 o'clock. So the second game, we ended up winning 3-0. This time our pitching performance was a complete 180.
Yeah.
Blake Benson got the start. He went 6 innings, so it's a doubleheader, so only 7 inning games. Blake Benson went 6 innings, only giving up 2 hits, walked 1, struck out 5. Maverick Wilder comes in for the save, his 4th of the season, and he's able to only give up 2 hits, has 2 strikeouts himself, no runs scored by Briarcliff. So kind of an inverse of the softball series there. You had all of the runs being scored in the first game, and then you had a pitcher's duel the second time out.
Yeah, for sure. And we talked last week about how pitchers get the wins. So would our first pitcher in the second game have gotten the win for that? Because he...
Yep, so because they never got the lead, so obviously it would have been him. The first time we scored a run, it would have been Blake with the win, and that's what he is. Blake, now that you mention it, 5-0 on the season. So
nice.
He's got a nice undefeated record. Briarcliff, we were going up against Nelson. Doesn't have the last names on the box sheet, unfortunately,
yep.
So we'll just go Nelson. I'm not on a first-name basis with the guy. But he's 0-5 on the season, so we kind of were able to pick on him a little bit. He gave up only 1 earned run. We got 2 out off of their bullpen. So good series for the Bulldogs. First home action, first GPAC win against Briarcliff. Obviously coming off a red-hot spring break and a series down there in Florida, multiple series down in there in Florida. So it's signs of good things to come for baseball. Season just getting started, just like tennis. Tennis is just getting started. They played against Midland, and I think they played against a few Player of the Weeks.
Yeah, they did. So both the men and the women, they traveled to Midland over the weekend. Both of them, unfortunately, got the loss. Midland are the defending GPAC champs, however, so can't fault them too much for that. The women had the best run at them. They went, they lost 5-2 against the Warriors. Our two singles points came from Mariana Milano and Shakira Derman, and unfortunately, we lost all of the doubles matches, and that was all for the women last week, but they're on the road Friday to face Morningside as the GPAC matches start to heat up. Like I said, the men also played Midland. They were defeated 6-1. So Mitch Crum and Grady Works, they got the win in their singles game. But unfortunately, like we've talked in previous episodes, you get one singles point for the whole team. It's three singles matches going on. Whoever wins the most of those, so whoever gets two wins first, wins it, wins the singles point. So Crum and Works got the win in their singles match, but unfortunately it doesn't really count for anything because we lost the other two. But then Works went on to get the solo singles win. So out of everyone, he was the only one to get the win. So good to see from him. But like you said, Midland got both GPAC Player of the Weeks, both for the men and the women, and they're the defending GPAC champions. So tough competition. We ended up taking some points off them. Men's tennis, though, the day before had a great match against Central College. They went 2-1 in the doubles to earn the point. Manuel Rodriguez and Hugo Fuentes, and then Michael Bedrosian and Santiago Abadia, they won their doubles matches. And then Fuentes, Bedrosian, Abadia, Works, and Crum all won their singles matches. And so Midland, they're technically a GPAC opponent, but they didn't count for our GPAC record, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so I think that we were talking about this before the episode started, but I think this is a common occurrence, at least at my old school, this is what happened. When you're in a conference that has weird scheduling, so the issue with my old school was the conference had too few teams.
Yeah.
So what the football team did is we would play one team twice. The first game of that series, the first time we played them, was a non-conference game just to fill out the schedule. Mm-hmm. And then the second time we played them, that would be for a conference game, and that would go towards the conference record.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's what happened here, but this does happen from time to time. I'll tell you, it's really frustrating when you win the first one and lose the second one, so you got a bad conference record against a team you split.
Yeah.
So hopefully that isn't the case here. Hopefully we win it when it counts. But yeah, it's happened before.
Yeah, and that would make sense because both of our teams have played Mount Marty twice and only one of them counted on the record.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you never know with the GPAC because we're having the shakeup with Jamestown.
Right.
And I don't really know how all that is settled out yet. And then the new school that came in, what is it, Warner?
Waldorf?
Waldorf.
Yeah.
Waldorf.
They're new from this season.
Yeah, so obviously things are moving and grooving and shaking in the GPAC, so that could be them trying to skirt around that with some of the scheduling.
Right, and I was looking at the last season scheduling, and each team only got 7 conference games, so I bet you some of the guys in our conference don't even have a tennis team.
Yeah, that could be it too. That could be it too, especially with some of the more like obscure sports.
Yeah.
Not everyone fields the amount of teams that Concordia does.
Right.
Where I'm pretty sure we've got, you know, the whole
pretty
nine
much
yards.
Every single sport.
Yeah, this is a sports school, right?
Yeah.
What's the stat? Like 2/3 of people, students here, are student athletes?
I think so, yeah. And then like 90% are in an activity.
So yeah, if you're going to Concordia, you're active.
You're doing something.
You're active
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But gonna give a little update on track and field.
So indoor is done.
Yes, indoor is done.
They're moving outside.
Yep, nationals have finished up and yeah, headed outside.
Getting some vitamin D.
Oh yeah. Well, first meet was supposed to be this Saturday, but no vitamin D available. Gonna be a cold, potentially rainy and cloudy day. So the Grandview Viking Relays was canceled, likely due to the inclement weather. Don't want to get those sprinters injured. So the first meet now is switched to the Central College Dutch Invite on the 28th. So that'll be out in Pella, Iowa.
Okay.
So another week to prepare, another week to rest up after the indoor season, and then get after it in the outdoor.
And I'm assuming the Grandview Viking Relay would not have been here in Seward?
No, it would have been in Des Moines.
Okay, all right, so that probably worse weather out
there. A little bit colder out there, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, let's hear about the basketball teams, because, I mean, like you said, one of them is finished up, but one of them is just getting started at Nationals.
Hopefully, yeah. So from track and field to let's go indoor where the air conditioning and the heaters are, men's basketball, we'll start with them. So obviously, we mentioned in our last episode, they both made the national tournament, men's and women's, very proud of both of those teams. Great successes to this point in the season, but we'll start with the men. First round of the tournament, they were away in Iowa. They were playing at a neutral ground, maybe arena. They played against Indiana University Northwest, who were the champions of their tournament. It was something like the Chicagoland Conference was their conference, and they ended up winning their version of the GPAC tournament, yeah. And that's how they got their bid into the national tournament. Bit of a lopsided affair in the first half when you looked at it. We were up by 20 points at one point. In fact, it was a little bit more, but the half ended. We were up by 20. They ended up coming back and getting the lead with less than two minutes on the clock. So it was a really stressful affair. The stat that stood out initially was the Red Hawks, the team we played, didn't hit a three until 2 minutes into the second half.
Oh my gosh.
So their first half, they were 0 for 12. So that's how you get down.
That'll do it.
That's how you get down by 20. But then again, it's concerning as a Bulldogs fan when you look at the box score and you're like, okay, this would be a lot more of a competitive game if they weren't shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
So you kind of, you could have expected them to come back, and that's exactly what they did. Noah Schutt ended up being huge. In the first half, Noah Schutt and Tristan Smith had 24 of the Bulldogs' 48 points. And then in the second half, Noah Schutt would end with 31. So whatever 31 minus 12 is, that's how many he got in the second half. And he went off in the second half, didn't really miss a lot of shots. The one thing that got the Red Hawks back into it, if you look at the stats, we had a horrible free throw percentage.
Really?
Less than half.
Oof.
From the charity stripe. And that really started to hurt, especially when you get into crunch time and you got to start fouling.
Right.
You got to start making those shots. And we were only hitting 50%. But at the very end, we were down by one at one point. Noah Schutt hits a layup, puts us up by one. And then Lucas Helms, his first and only three-point shot of the day, funny enough, was clutch three-point, top of the arc. He ends up draining it, goes one for one for three on the day.
100%.
Puts us up by four, and that was basically all she wrote. We played the foul game back and forth, but they weren't able to come back from it. So, huge win in the first round of the national tournament. Again, that was against Indiana University Northwest. Second round was a loss to Louisiana State University Shreveport. Again, we kind of have a tale of two games here. We were up by 20 at half versus Indiana University Northwest, down by 21 at halftime versus LSU Shreveport. This is in the same stadium, so this was in maybe arena. Again, a neutral, kind of a neutral, although it is a lot closer to us.
And was it LSU's stadium?
No.
Or their arena? So the host site lost?
They went up. They went up to, it was by Sioux City, maybe arena.
Okay.
So they were playing at the neutral, it was a neutral ground for both teams.
Okay.
So it was obviously, it's kind of closer because we had less of a drive than they did.
Right.
Coming from Louisiana.
So that's interesting because the women, they played home
games. The women was home, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you why.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah, but neutral ground but for
it
the
is,
guys for
that
everyone.
Is an interesting observation that I had made as well, and I don't know why.
Okay.
But neutral site for the men, not for the women. Anyways, it was LSU Shreveport. We got down by 21 at halftime, and then it was a closer affair in the second half. They ended up scoring 54 in the first half, and we only scored 33. In the second half, we scored about the same, and then they scored about the same, but we were never able to overcome the 20-point deficit. Nobody had over 16 points, so you go from a game of Noah Schutt having 31 to then nobody having over 16. The one standout performance was Joel Baker. I don't think we've said his name on the podcast yet. He had a great game, 16 points. One of the only guys on the team who was able to consistently hit the three ball, he was 4 for 7 from three-point, and he only had 16 minutes.
Huh.
So he played about half as many minutes as the starters, and he ended up leading the team in points. So
good for him.
Good for him. Yeah, but it's a good season, I think, when you look at it in its totality from the men. You had a lot of tribulations, especially in the beginning with them not being ranked. They didn't get ranked till the very end, and they end up winning the conference by record at the end of the season. So
get a national win as well.
It was great to get here. It was really good to get here. Competed in the GPAC tournament, gave every team we played a run for their money. I'm sure we'll probably do an episode where we break down the men's season.
Yeah.
But all in all, just in summation, I think you can write down this season, the 2023-2024 season, was successful.
Especially with all the young guys on the team.
Oh my goodness, it's a super young team. Yeah. So you kind of got like the two-headed monster of Shutt and Smith. But then aside from that, you got like a bunch of freshmen.
Yeah.
And there was some big names that stepped up. Like Kessinger was huge.
Yep.
Later throughout the season.
Especially in that Hastings game that we
won. Especially in the Hastings game. So a lot of guys making their name for themselves.
Yeah.
I think it'll be exciting to watch them.
You can call it a success year just based off the record, but also it's kind of a building year as well while we're being successful.
Yeah, so that's amazing. That's really good.
Yeah.
But women's basketball, even more successful because they are still alive, but we'll break it down how they got there. First round was against Benedictine, and this was a weird, weird game.
Very strange.
Let me tell you. So we kind of was jinxed it. I don't think I knocked on wood. I doubt you knocked on wood.
Nope.
So it was our fault. We jinxed it in our first episode. We were talking how it's kind of weird that we were playing Benedictine because just statistically, it was such a lopsided affair.
Yeah, like they had almost a losing record.
Almost. It was weird. So we're looking at Benedictine, and then, of course, we probably go out and have one of our worst shooting nights of the season.
Yeah.
So in the first half, we go 31.4% from the field. Only shot 17% from three in the first half.
Yeah.
In the second, this is what's weird. Our field goal percentage dropped by a percent. So we went from 31% in the first to 30 in the second. But our saving grace is our three-point shooting percentage jumped by 30 points.
Yeah.
46.2%.
Yeah, because we were down late in the game and then we hit five successive three-pointers to bring us back into it.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of been the season. We've talked about it a little bit, just how the personnel has worked out this season. It's a very guard heavy, so very naturally you're going to have to live and die by the three to a certain extent. And I think that's kind of what happened here. Obviously, the first half was not going well. Second half got better. Yeah. Able to thankfully bring it to overtime, and that's when the Bulldogs look like the Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
In overtime, we were able to put up a 10-point lead, four for five from the field, one for two from three. It was Sadie Powell who ended up leading the team in scoring. So, okay, so here's the thing. I was trying to look through the record book, but it's very hard to do because there's a lot of buttons and I'm not great with a laptop and I have a bad laptop.
Yeah.
I want to say she came close to her career high. However, I don't want to say so because Jake Knabel didn't say that it was her career high. So if Jake Knabel doesn't give me the go-ahead, I'm not.
We trust in Jake
Knabel. We trust Jake Knabel. Yep. If it would have been her career high, I feel like Jake would have said it in his article.
Probably.
He didn't say it, but either way, 23 points. That's a lot of points. Sadie Powell did a really good job. Again, McKenzie Toomey was not in the starting lineup, so still dealing with the head issue that she had a few games ago. But she did play. She got 11 minutes, so they're kind of bringing her back in. Obviously not starting. Kendall Brigham was in the starting rotation, but it's good to see that Toomey was back on the
board. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you said we looked like the Bulldogs right at the very end of the game. I'd argue the only times we looked like the Bulldogs was the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah.
Because we went up by 9 points, a 9-0 start to the game, and like the whole soccer team was there, and we were all like, wow, we came to a game that's going to be a blowout. You know?
They made it interesting for you guys.
Oh, my gosh. It was exciting, for sure.
Yeah.
More interesting, definitely, than a blowout game.
Yeah. The games where you have to, like, think twice about going to the restroom are always the keep your eyes on the court. But the second round probably went a little bit more as expected for Concordia fans. Feel bad for Wayland Baptist. Ended up finding out later that they drove all the way up here from Plainview, Texas. That's out close by the Panhandle.
Oh, wow.
And that's a bit of a drive. So they ended up coming up, and, well, they lost 80-62. So almost a 20-point victory for the Bulldogs. This was a good one. This was one of those games where you got a lot of the freshmen, a lot of the bench players in, especially in the later minutes. You had four players in double digits. Kendall Brigham led the way. Which is really good to see because usually, you know, it's, you know, Tayshia Rushton putting up the big numbers. But Kendall Brigham, again, was in the starting lineup, which she's excelled in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. She excelled off the bench as the sixth man, where she was really putting a lot of points on the board. And she excels again in the starting lineup. Although I think if you look at the numbers, her minutes are probably going to be similar just because they used her so much off of the bench.
Right.
That I really think she maybe plays one or two more minutes as a starter.
Yeah, not too much more. She was actually the player I noticed the most in the first game against Benedictine. Yep. Like, obviously, she had a couple clutch threes towards the end, mm-hmm. but I noticed the most was her defending. Like, she was going crazy out there.
Yes.
Going for everything. She got a couple steals.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you watch guard-heavy teams, that's what's really interesting is they make up for what they lack in size. They just make up for it in just straight tenacity.
Yeah.
They're just all over the court like spider monkeys.
Yep.
It's amazing to watch. So, four players in double digits. Mackenzie Toomey didn't get the start again. We'll keep watching because she's just such a big part of the team. She ended up getting 24 minutes this game.
Nice.
And they ended up pulling her early. Obviously, you don't need a player late in a 20-point victory. So, she's getting there. We'll see how her status looks for this coming game today. But without further ado, we're going to move on to the game today, the NAIA Sweet 16. So we're in the last 16 teams in NAIA, and our opponent is the University of Providence. So again, not a GPAC opponent. Haven't seen any of them this season. So just from the limited research, I'll give you everything I have on Providence. Isn't a lot. They were the Frontier Conference champions. They ended up having about a similar conference record as we did, a similar record that we did. They did play one GPAC opponent this season. It was Jamestown. They lost 63-71. If you go look at their offense, defense, blocking, shooting percentage, we outrank them in every stat except scoring defense. So just for the layman, the scoring defense is the average that you hold opponents to.
Mm-hmm.
So their scoring defense, they're 31st in the nation. This is out of all NAIA rankings, and we're 106. Now, mind you, this is only a 4-point difference because they are holding teams to 60 points per game. We're holding them to 64 points per game.
Not too big.
Not too big, but there's a lot of teams in between that 4 points. So that's the one place they have stout defense, and that game will be today. Not in Seward. That'll be in Sioux City. So the first away game for the Bulldogs. It'll be interesting to see mm-hmm. how they respond on the national stage. But I believe the stream is free.
Okay.
I want to say the stream is free.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so because, man, the bad thing about the national tournament, you start getting to these more highly publicized games, the more money starts leaving your wallet.
Yep, definitely.
But this should be a good game. Obviously, the hallmark of the Concordia team this season has been our offense.
Yep.
You look national ranks, we're 17th in the nation, just points per game offensively. So this should be a really good matchup. Obviously, Sweet 16, you win that, you get to the Elite Eight. We've been following what Dort's doing, and then hopefully if everything goes according to plan, we get another shot at Dort.
Oh, for sure. Love to see that.
Which is, I think, every Concordia fan would love to see that, and I could guarantee you every girl on the team would love to have another chance at Dort.
Yep.
So that is hopefully what the season is going to bring to. But unless I'm missing anything, this is a pretty short week.
Yep.
We're kind of getting into the portion of the school year where some sports are winding down, some sports are gearing up, so it's a little bit of a slow news cycle wise.
Yeah, because wrestling just finished up. We're in that weird place for track where they're in season, but they're not in season.
Getting tournaments canceled because it's too cold.
Yep.
So we'll wait for the weather to be more favorable, and then we'll have some news from the track and field. But without further ado, that'll be all for our 9th ever episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CUNE SOAR website. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everyone at the SOAR newspaper, have a great day and go Dogs!